Good morning. How you doing? It is so good to be here this morning, because what else would we be doing on this Sunday morning? Watching the Packers. No, let me tell you this. There's no other place I would rather be than right here. And if you're there with me, let's hear it, all right? Especially because of Baptism Sunday. As an evangelist, it took me 30 years to admit I was an evangelist. I just said I was a youth speaker, but I'm an evangelist because I want to share the good news. But as an evangelist, nothing is better for me than seeing people give their lives to Jesus, saving faith, giving their lives to Christ, receiving Him as their Lord and Savior, making a profession, a public profession of that, and promising to follow Him. That's what baptism is about. Let's already give the people that are going to be baptized today a round of applause and tell them we're proud of them. Let me just say it this way. Baptism Sunday is like my maple syrup. No, I love maple syrup. I love French toast, my favorite. Put it on French toast, and I'm sorry, not just, it's got a drip and soak, right? And put it on pancakes, but my new love is putting it in my coffee. I'm just saying, it's good. Matter of fact, I have some here, and afterwards, if you want to go back to the fireside, I'll give you a shot, all right? But here's, I did not know this. Did you know it takes 40 gallons of maple sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup? 1 gallon, 40 gallons. So right here, we have about 400 gallons. All of this water here where people are gonna be enough to be dunked in, this would only make 4 gallons of maple syrup. Here's what happens. 97% of it gets boiled away. All right, I love life. I love living, right? But I think we need to boil it down to what really matters. Like, let's ask the big questions of life. Why are you here? Why are we here? What's the good life? What's real life? What's lasting life? What's eternal life? And here's what it is. Let's boil it down. It boils down to 3 things. Number one, something I believe in. I want you to know these before you leave today. So number one, something I believe in. Would you say that? That was really weak. Something I believe in. Number two, someone I put my trust in. And number three, a message I live my life by. All right, so something I believe in, number one. What is that? Something I believe in? It's the gospel. It's the God story. It's His story. History is His story. And to break it down, what? God created, right? Men and women in His own image to have a relationship with us. Men and women chose sin instead, and therefore there was a separation from God and His creation forever. That would have been called hell. That is hell. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son to bridge that gap, to die for the forgiveness of our sins, 3 days later to rise from the dead, have His Spirit come and live with us, and He's coming again. You believe that, right? Amen? So guess what? Let me just say it loud and clear. Doctrine matters. What you believe, or whatever you believe to be true. No, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Him. That's what the Word says. So the Bible matters. Doctrine matters. But that's just number one. You see, it's more than a creed. It's someone I put my trust in. So much more than a creed. More than a religion, right? It's a relationship. We say that a lot around here. It's more than a religion. It's a to know Him. You can know all the right facts and never have met Jesus. I met a pastor who went to seminary, studied the creed, knew it inside and out. He said he was a pastor 17 years until he met Christ, until he gave himself to Christ. So is it maybe true that some of us can know all the facts, but never really surrendered our life, become one with Christ, receive Him into your life, surrender your life to Him, make Him your Savior and your Lord? Example this morning, Mason Crosby. the kicker for the Green Bay Packers. Now, maybe you do not know this, but he is the all-time scorer of the Green Bay Packers. He has scored, so far, 1,806 points. Unless he just scored in London. Let's not look right now. Don't tell me if you know. But some of you go, oh, he had a cold streak. Remember that? Right? And so people were questioning him. But you know what? The all-time leader, scoring leader of the Green Bay Packers, is so much more than the facts about his kicking. Have you ever met him? I just got to meet him. We had him at Life Fest. He's a great guy. His wife and him are great people. They go to Green Bay Community Church. They're believers. They love Jesus. So I met him. But I don't have an ongoing relationship with him. He's not my friend. Are you in a relationship with Jesus? Right? Have you given him the deed of your life? Said, your death bought me back. Jesus, you really want me? Do you know about all my sin? Do you know what I've done? You'll take it all? I can trust you with my whole life? All right. Then I believe and I receive. I believe something and then I trust someone. There it is. I believed and received. I'm done. No, you're not. That's just the beginning. So many people are like, I don't know if you've heard this joke, but there was this church that had a steeple and they had pigeons in it. And they couldn't get rid of them. And the janitor and all the people tried. And finally, one elder said, I'll get rid of them. And they came back the next month. They were all gone. He said, what'd you do? We baptized them. We confirmed them. We'll never see them again. And we think it's the end instead of the beginning. Let me put it this way. Evangelism without discipleship is like dating without getting married. Did you hear that? Evangelism without discipleship is like dating and never getting married. You can come and date every Sunday. Maybe you're in a small group even. But you've never said yes and said, I'm going to live my life by this. Now, do we have to do the works to be saved? No. But if we're really saved, will we do the works? Yes. See, when you really believe in Jesus, and when you really give him your life, and when you really receive him, you're born anew. You're born into a new kingdom, a new society, a new government. It's the heavenly government. You become one with it. Ephesians 2:1 says we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. But Ephesians 2:5, when we receive him, his spirit mixes with our spirit and we become new. When you do that, it transforms you. It changes you. Are you perfect? No. But growing, maturing? Yes, yes, yes. From life to life, from glory to glory. But now let me say something. If we only focus on what is seen today as discipleship, if you focus only on lifestyle without true conversion and evangelism, it's no more than rules and judging performance. Did you hear that? Let me say it another way. Discipleship without evangelism is no more than a religious version of self-help. Because what? The focus is on self, which is dead religion. Do we need evangelism? Do we need discipleship? Can you have one without the other? No, it's time to put them back together, to stop fighting, to be on the same team. Let me say it again, as loud and clear as I can. Life, Christianity, boils down to someone, something I believe in, someone I put my trust in, and a message I live my life by. It takes all three. That'll transform you. That'll transform you. It'll change you. Why? Because repentance is a change of heart, a change of direction, but also a change of mind. So this last one, a message I live my life by, that's why we want you to be in the Word. That's why we want you to be in small group, to be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Here's what we need to do, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things on Sunday morning only. And stop peeking about the score of the Packers. That's not what it says. See, it's not just for Sunday. This has so little. It's so huge. It's my maple syrup. But it's so little compared to the whole Christian life. See, it's not just in church. It's in every aspect of your thinking, every aspect of your life. Someone just put it this way. It needs to permeate our knowledge in science, listen to this, in technology, in machinery, in equipment, in construction. It's about chemistry, biology, astronomy. There are thoughts on medicine, nursing, education, engineering, math, and computers. It's about farming and agriculture, flowers and plants, fruits and vegetables. It's about hope and health and happiness. It's about business. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about inventions. All of these are in the scope of God's thinking and where we need to live out our message. If you're willing to live out the message in your life, let's applaud Jesus right now and say, that's what we want. Do you see the lifestyle here? Do you see what a disciple really is? It's a message I live my life by. That's why, as an attender here at Christ Rock, I am so proud of the focus at Christ Rock. Because I believe that they're doing the right view of discipleship. I believe it contains all three aspects. Listen to the definition. If you don't know it, memorize this. A disciple is someone who is following, being changed by, and committed to the mission of Jesus. Did you hear that? Who is following, being changed by, and committed to the mission of Jesus. It's what we believe. It's who we trust, and it's what we do. That's all of them. So do you see why baptism is such a big deal? Do you see why it's my maple syrup? This is so important. Now, I did not grow up in a church that did adult baptisms like this. We baptized babies with a little sprinkling, and I'm not here to debate either one. But when I tell you this, when I went into my first church, they had a permanent baptismal built in, I'm like, this church has a pool. This is cool. I wanted to die from the pulpit, all right? It was so wild, it was so different. But I collect embarrassing moments for when I do public schools, and a lot of them I can't share, like in the public schools, because they've happened in church. So I wanna share one that I heard. This one happened in a Baptist church in Pennsylvania. Now, they're having adult baptism, and even in telling this, I might teach a little bit and tell you a story, because they were, in baptism, what they would do is they would have, they even had the lights with the theatrics of it. So somebody would come out here, they'd get dressed up here, they'd come out, and they had the lights down low, and they would share about their life before Christ. And if they're an older person that might have had a shady past, they would share about their sinful life without Christ. But even if you're saved at a young age, God has saved you from all of that. So that's a powerful testimony too. But they would share the darkness. And then they would go in and they would make a profession of their faith. And then they're baptized. Why? Because that's like Jesus. Remember, he died on the cross, he was buried, and then he rose to new life. So they come and tell their story before Christ. They'd share how they met Jesus. Then they would make the professions. I believe in the Father and the Son. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he rose from the dead. I repent of my sins. I ask him in my heart, right? Everybody should know how to lead someone to Christ. And then they said, okay, and now just as Christ has risen, they'd come up. And so they would turn on the lights. They would come out representing old life without Christ, born again, new life with Christ. They would turn it on and they would sing a song. Just amazing. You getting the picture? Right? That's what we're doing. That's why this is big. This is new life. This is eternal life. This is lasting life. Let me teach real quick. Romans 6:4. Look at the scripture. All right? And they told me I only have 25 minutes. I know I'm going to get 40, so I got to talk really fast. So here we go. Let's go. Romans 6:4. We were therefore, now watch, look at the baptism, right? buried with him, Jesus, through baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Do you see it? I'm sorry, it just became so clear to me. We believe in something. We trust him. And closer than marriage, you give your life to Jesus. You're buried, you say no to sin, and you say, I'm going to live for him. That's new life. That's the hope. That's the good news. That's why it's better than the Packers. That's what we got here. But look, okay, let's boil it down. Let's see if this works. It all boils down. Look at the center of the verse. It says that Christ rose from the dead. Come on. 2022, it's about the science. Sorry. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. That was not in my notes. Okay, I'm sorry. But you really believe. You heard me say it's about the science. You heard me say it's about astronomy. You heard me say it's about knowledge. And you're telling me you believe he rose from the dead? Yes, 100%. He is risen. He is alive. It's not checking out your brain. It's the most rational, logical thing you could do. It's what you've been made for. Not only do I believe that, listen to what I believe. I believe that he was God, he created the earth, that Jesus was both God and man, that he did miracles, that he rose the dead, he died, he risen again, that he loves me, he's living in my heart, and I can talk to him, he talks back. Are you a fruitcake? No, but I like maple syrup. And if you boil down life, that's what it comes down to. That's what it's about. It's about something I believe in. It's about somebody who's closer than my own family to me. It's about a message that I fail so bad, but I've committed my life to try to live like him. And my hope is I'm getting a little better because he rose from the dead, and the power that raised him from the dead now lives in me. So there's a hope. I'm going to get better. Okay, back to the embarrassing moments. Here we go. So they're baptizing at this Baptist church, but the church is growing, and we are too. We're growing again. Hallelujah. More people are coming to know Jesus through Christ's rock here, and we're a part of what God is doing as the bigger church. God is not lost through COVID, okay? So here's what. They were building on. So they were building through the altar. And so where they had the wall where people were getting dressed, they put a sheet instead. So people would get dressed, come give testimony, turn off the lights, tell about Jesus, come, new life, go back. So the last person getting baptized, she was a little larger lady. I can say that because I'm a larger boy. But the pastor was a little smaller. And here, sometimes we have people helping back up. Well, there they didn't. So sometimes if you're going to get baptized today, I don't know if they told you, but if you want to plug your nose, you can plug your nose. So she was plugging her nose like this, a little harder. And the pastor took his position and got her going. And the pastor's foot slipped. And she started free falling. And she freaked out. And she's like, and she's grabbing for anything. And she grabs the sheet. And the sheet comes down. And the guy who was just baptized is butt naked. You can't make that up. He's in front of 500. What? What would you do? He didn't know what to do. So he jumped back in the baptismal. Come on. Just so you know, I checked before I shared that one. People say, that's a true story. But people say, Bob, but why would you share it at church? Here's why. There's some people today that are here that we need to jump back into our baptism, amen? We need to jump back into our baptism. We're trying to do life without him. Oh, I believe that was way back there. No, it's like a wedding. Every time I go to a wedding, I am challenged by the beauty and the romance of the vows. And almost every time I look at my wife and I say, Carol, I still do. And I want to do better. And I renew my vows. Now, I don't have to get married again, but I need to go back to that first love. How many of us maybe here are in that? You've been weary. You've been beat up by life, by the pandemic, by people, by church burn. But you know what? You don't need to be baptized again either. But jump back in. I had a buddy. He thought you had to keep, you know, until he was perfect. So he got baptized 4 times. You know, like, I've been born 4 times. No. If you've been baptized and you might be slipping back, that's okay. Today, would you jump back in? So I want to talk to those who have believed and were baptized, but you believe that God this morning is calling you to live this message out more as a disciple. Jump back in. Amen. Jump back in. For those who are being baptized today, we already clapped for you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for you. But I want you to know how big of a deal this is. This is not just for today. This is for your life. And as you see it, how big it is, that it's God acting, but you are, yes, you're professing, but it's still something that God is acting within. That's why they call it sacrament. The Protestant church just kept two, communion and baptism. That's why we still practice them here. That God is acting. And you don't do it. You don't come and baptize yourself. You do it in community, right? Like the cross, vertical with God, horizontal with one another. That's why this is so powerful. So to you, I'd say, if you go, wow, that's bigger than I thought, I'm really not ready, I'd respect you more not to get baptized. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to talk people out of it. Sorry, Ben. But we want you to know how big this is. It's beautiful. And that's why we're going to rejoice with you. But number three, I want to talk to, without guilt, and my kids said I don't know how to talk without placing guilt on them. Your kids are like that? I'm like, hey, no pressure. You want to get together for the Packer game? They're like, you say no pressure, I feel more pressure. I can't win, okay? But please hear me. So I'm trying without guilt. If you're a believer here and you've not followed Christ in obedience to public baptism, I challenge you, lovingly invite you into obedience with Christ because it's the best life. You're missing out. So to those who have been baptized, jump back in. To those who are being baptized, we rejoice with you. To those, maybe you're like, but Bob, I didn't bring a suit. You can go in your clothes today. And if it's not today, again, without guilt, let's set up a time. Let's talk. And let's follow Christ in obedience. But I want to talk to one more group in closing. For those of you who, when you see what it really boils down to, something I believe in, the truth about God and his word and his son and redemption and salvation and discipleship. That you see it's someone I need to trust in. It's more than a religious duty. And then it's a message I'm going to commit my life to. And if you can be honest and I have to go, wow, I'm kind of like that pastor. I've been raised in America and in Wisconsin, church all my life. I don't think I'm a disciple. No condemnation here. None of us are here because we're good enough. It's been a gift. But to you, I would ask you, would you consider him today? I think it's what you're longing for. Did you ever have like one of the best days in your life and you're still empty inside? And go, what else I gotta do? What fills that longing, that hunger? It's Jesus. Augustine said, I will be restless until I rest in him. That there's a God-shaped void in all of our hearts. Now, if you look at your life, maybe you got one of the three. Maybe you believe the creed. You've recited, I believe in God Almighty, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Maybe you've got it. But you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've had an encounter with Jesus and you met Jesus. You met him. I met Mason Crosby, but I don't have a relationship with him. Maybe you're there. So maybe you know the facts, but you've never encountered and said yes to Jesus and said, let's be one, I give you my life. Or maybe you're number three. I'm a good person. I live by the golden rule. I'm trying to follow his message. But remember, it's all three. To be a disciple, it boils down to all threes. Then what's your excuse or your reason? Well, if I can jump back into this last series that I'm so proud of our church for doing, it's the first time ever I've seen a church do a series on being burnt by the church. That's authenticity. That's honesty. And their honesty about being hurt and as leaders hurting others was commendable. And I pray that, as we talked about last week with Pastor Ben, that reconciliation, forgiveness, reconciliation, different. I loved how he did that. But where it's possible, reconciliation. And sometimes it's not healthy for that. Just do forgiveness so it doesn't eat you. Amen? Thanks, Ben. Thank you. But I got a shirt here that I saw that broke my heart. And it's called Church Hurt. And it says, I think they got it here. I don't know if you can read it. I can give you a copy of this afterwards. A Jesus Loves You campaign. And I know I got to finish, but I just want to read these. It says, Church Hurt. And so if some of the reason you're here today and you've not fully surrendered to Jesus is because of hurt by Christians or church, on behalf of the church and as a fumbling follower of Jesus myself, I'm sorry. And if you fit in any of these categories, I'm sorry if someone told you you're not going to hell because of one thing you've done, or that God doesn't love you, or that Jesus is white, or that you're gone too far, and that you don't look enough like us, that Jesus isn't for you, and that you have to earn God's love, or that your feelings aren't valid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you were judged by the color of your skin for having tattoos, or not having tattoos nowadays, for political affiliation, if you've been judged for your past, by the way you look, for where you came from, by how you talk, for what you shared in confidence. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you felt like an outcast or you couldn't fit in and that the church was just a bunch of cliques. I'm sorry if you felt it was just traditions were more important than knowing Jesus. And I'm sorry if you saw a church as just a business or a corporation. And I'm sorry if the church just wanted, you thought they just wanted your money. And I'm sorry if you needed to meet expectations to be accepted if you thought that. But with all that, if that's why, I would ask you a serious question. Did your parents ever burn the toast? It's okay to laugh at that. You're like, Bob, that was a bad transition. No, really, did your parents ever burn the food? Yeah. Did you stop eating? Of course not.